court to order, please. Is there anyone that'd like to volunteer for our opening prayer? Judge Mack.
Thank you, sir.
Shall we pray? Father, we're so honored today that we live in a nation that allows us to celebrate our freedoms, and we pray a special blessing on this court today, that your will would be done, and to your glory and to your word and to your way. We pray for our nation. Lord, we pray for the families and the victims of the tragedy and the evil that was wrought in Orlando this weekend, God, and we pray that peace would go to that storm and comfort those families and the hurt and the pain and the suffering. As a nation, God, as we reflect on the evil and the hate that causes these things, God, that we as a people would seek you and that you would heal our land, Lord. We thank you for the men and women that defend our freedoms here and abroad, God, and we pray your blessings on them. And we thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this community that cares about you and is not ashamed to call on that name that's above every other in the time of need, time of crisis, and the beginning of this court session. We call on that holy and wonderful name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and speak all these things done in accordance to your word, in accordance to your way. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Judge. Now, if you'll join me in the pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Judge, before we get started, I've got a few guests here I'd like to introduce.
Sure, why don't you go ahead, Commissioner.
My wife, Janie, my daughter, Michelle, and her daughter, Riley. Y'all stand up. Say hello. That's my granddaughter.
Glad to have you here. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present, and we need a motion, Commissioners, to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. Commissioner, would you take 7A? One of y'all.
You gonna read it?
Oh. Yeah, I guess I am gonna read it. I need to see if the Montgomery ISD Theater Arts Department is here with us. Is that y'all?
Yes.
Would y'all please come join me around the, I started to say altar. That's the podium. Would y'all please come up here with me, please? I probably needed the altar, but we're not going to call it an altar today. I want to thank Commissioner Metter for allowing me to do this. And I'm not going to tell you the real reason he did that, but y'all will all figure that out in just a few minutes. Whereas on May the 25th, 2016, the Montgomery ISD Theater Group performed the one-act play, Leo Tolstoy's Anna
Karenina.
See, now you already know why he made me do this. In the 6A UIL finale in Austin, Texas, and whereas Director Suzanne Ray and Assistant Director Jessica Farrarone took this theater group to one of the top 8 troops out of 1,240 participating schools, and whereas the night of the finale, Montgomery ISD Theater rose to the occasion by putting on an impressive performance and placing third in the state of Texas. Accordingly, Mallory Dozier was named Best Actress in the state. Jack Russell was named to the statewide all-star cast. And Lou Valero was named to the honorable mention all-star cast. And whereas, since becoming a 6A school a few years ago, Miss Ray has taken her students to the state finals and placed first, second, or third 4 times. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners' Court of Montgomery County, Texas, hereby recognizes and honors the outstanding record that the Montgomery ISDA Theater Arts Department has achieved. The court congratulates all instructors and students involved and looks forward to many more exceptional performances by future troops. Congratulations. Now, I want to give y'all just a moment to introduce y'all yourselves, if you would.
I'm Suzanne Ray, the director.
Casey Kramer.
Tony Picarelli.
Riley Dunn.
Andrew Stewart.
Lauren Cotton.
Congratulations to all y'all. Thank y'all very much.
Hey, let me tell y'all something. I've never been a theater guy until my granddaughter got in it, and now I am. But if you ever get a chance to see this group perform, it was amazing. I mean, we saw, there was two sessions a morning, or an afternoon and night. We saw four schools compete, and there was no question who had the best performance. And the two schools that beat Montgomery, we didn't get to see. But if you ever get a chance, Miss Ray, what an amazing job you and Jessica do with these kids, and the talent's just amazing. And if you ever get a chance, don't miss it. Go see them. It's worth the price of a ticket. Let me tell you.
Congratulations.
y'all wanna come up here? I guess they got their pictures. Okay. Y'all come up here.
Come on up.
Y'all come up.
So, we'll have them stand up here in front.
Y'all just line up right here and we'll get behind you. Light it up.
One, two, three. I'm not sure if you're moving stage right or stage left, but I know you know that.
Thank you, Daddy, for doing this. There we go, that one. And here we go. Let's see here. I see why they call these smartphones. They're smarter than I am. All right, everybody look this way. Commissioner Nowak, are you standing up?
Hey, Wayne, I think you have an agenda item today, don't you?
Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.
It'll all come back.
Congratulations again.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Great job. Congratulations.
Miss Janie, is there anything else we need to do? All right. Congratulations. Job well done.
And if you notice, I'm barefooted because Riley's heel was broke, and I had to give him my shoes, so I'm barefooted.
Oh, no.
Only a grandmother.
Love
y'all.
Bye. Oftentimes the best free show in town, right? All right. Now, the presentation of the Employee of the Month Award for April and May.
Y'all don't let her in here anymore.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We have April and May to present today. I have Brett Ligon presenting the first one.
Thank you. With the court's permission, I'd like to read the nomination letter for James Lumen. James, if you would, come on up. A lot of y'all don't know what James does, and if you don't know what James does, then that means that you haven't had any mistakes in your office. But let me read you a little bit of what makes James not only probably the employee of the month, but employee in any kind of messy situation. I'll just leave it there. The District Attorney's Office, along with the Human Resources Department, would like to nominate Custodian James Lumen for Employee of the Month. Throughout the years, we have had several mishaps at the office, and James has always been sent to save the day. James is always pleasant, sees that whatever problem we have is taken care of in a fast, professional way. He never complains or makes a fuss, as he does his best to fix us up. Even when he may not be feeling at his best, most people would never notice because he is still the same helpful, accommodating, and friendly James. He never hesitates to assist other employees or citizens when he notices they need a hand. He makes sure that before he leaves your office that the reason he came is completed your satisfaction and then some. James is very dependable, professional, and respectful. We appreciate the hard work he does and would like for him to be recognized. Know that there are many departments who appreciate him and what he does for this county. And for those of you who still don't know what James does, when you're at the DA's office and you happen to be giving bad news to somebody, sometimes the way that their body reacts is not the way that you'd think that it would react. And James is there not only to help us, help them, but he's also there to make sure that the office is maintained in a clean and professional way. And so, you know, part of being a leader is lifting up the people around you, and I cannot think of a better award for a better man than Employee of the Month for James. James Fleming, thank you very much.
Oh, Judge is on fire this morning.
I'm telling you, he's rocking.
He is.
Fired?
I think the courthouse.
Him and Janie can't come in here anymore.
Congratulations, Janie.
To present May's winner, I would like to ask Lieutenant Clendenin to come up. This isn't a surprise for her, right? Are you going to do it for
her? Very well.
Okay. I did bring this in case you wanted to read it. I'm going to start. Tanya, you want to come up?
Tanya is a loyal staff member who carries a great deal of responsibilities within this department. Each day, she's tasked with large majority of budget oversight and the allocation of equipment and resources. She's also directly supervises four other clerical staff members who have tremendous workload regarding everything from civil process to criminal enforcement as well as scheduling. Tanya has constantly stepped up to the plate to lead this agency in areas there is intense level of responsibility, and we're very proud to have someone like Tanya in our department, and we hope that every department has someone like her. Tanya, we're proud to have you here.
Congratulations.
Have a scholarship to present. I want to ask Kaylee Branch to come up with me. And we're presenting a $500 scholarship to Kaylee. Kaylee is the daughter of Tom Branch with special activities in the Sheriff's Office Jail Division. Kaylee is currently attending college with Texas Women's University, pursuing her master's degree in kinesiology. She wishes to become an occupational therapist and work with children on a specialized level. Kaylee lost two very important people in her life at a very young age, and with the help of a mentor, was able to overcome and take what she learned to help other children in the same situation. We are very pleased to award Kaylee with a scholarship and wish her the best in her studies. Please join me in congratulating her. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. Commissioners, under County Clerk, we need to approve our minutes from our session dated May 24th.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Commissioners, I have no changes on consent and would entertain a motion to approve consent if there's no other changes you have.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. At this time, we have our citizens' comment segment of the agenda. For anyone that would like to address an item that is on today's agenda, now would be the time to do so. We'll have a segment at the end of the agenda for those that want to discuss issues that are not presented on today's agenda. But for those on today's agenda, let me read this brief statement. We will now invite the public for comment on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials, and the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So if there's anyone that would like to address an item that's on today's agenda, now would be the time to do so. I have
two people signed up about road issues, one in precinct 2 and 4. Do we have that item on the agenda? Commissioner Clark, are you aware? So is there anyone that would like to address any item on today's agenda? All right, moving forward.
Judge, I think we got a little, I don't think we ever made a motion on the
proclamation.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Commissioner. Okay, item 11A, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a resolution authorizing Montgomery County to support the San Jacinto River Authority's application for flood protection planning grant assistance filed with the Texas Water Development Board. And Jace Houston is here with SJRA today. Jace, you got a presentation for us? Thank you, sir.
Brought it back up. Yeah. I'll leave copies with you, but since it's working good, we'll go through this. I want to start with a brief overview of the rainfall event that occurred at the end of May, show you a few stats and statistics, and a little bit of how that impacted us out at Lake Conroe. I don't have to tell you how it impacted all of the county. I know you're all very familiar with it, but I thought I would just share a few interesting stats. This was 2015's rainfall versus average. The light green line at the bottom is the average, and you can see 2015 in the spring we departed from the average. We had a well above normal spring last year. Well, look at 2016 already, we are even farther above our average rainfall. We've had tremendous rain really beginning in March. And just because it's interesting to me, you can see this is Texas yearly precipitation numbers historically, and you can see 2011, one of the lowest rainfall years in Texas history, and 2015 at the opposite end. So we've been to both extremes in the last 4 years or 5 years, and already I believe 2016 is probably going to rank up there as one of the wettest. If you just take a few snapshots, this is the first 6 months of 2015. These are rainfall numbers, and so it's hard to read, but the point is in March, which is in about the middle, we had some significantly wet periods, and then again in May, we had two big events in 2015. That resulted in lake level running well above 201 throughout the first 6 months of 2015. We had some periods where we were several periods where we were a foot over, and then a couple where we ended up 18 inches over. And in terms of the amount of water we had to release, by this time last year, we had released over 400,000 acre-feet of water, which is basically over 20 feet of lake level by this time last year. Well, let's look at this year. So first 6 months of 2016, again, we had big rain in the middle of March. We had significant rain in April, and then, of course, tremendous rainfall in May. In fact, that top of that graph is 6 inches, and those are daily totals. So at Lake Conroe, at our gauge, we had over 6 inches one day 2 weeks ago. In terms of lake level, we spent some time, we were 2 feet over in March. We had a couple of events in April, and then, of course, we were 3.5 feet over Memorial Day weekend. That's that last spike. And again, in terms of release, we already this year have released over 400,000 acre feet of water, and that's just about 20 feet of lake level. If you average the 40 some odd years that Lake Conroe's existed, the average is about 7 feet a year of release, just due to normal wet and dry cycles. And 2 years in a row, we've released over 20 feet of water just due to the extraordinary rainfall events we've had. Now here's a snapshot. This is a 7-day rainfall totals for, you can see it's a multi-county area, but that band coming right from Navasota into Montgomery County, that's 12 to 20 inches of rainfall across the majority of southwest Montgomery County. And there's not a portion of Montgomery County didn't have at least 8 to 9 inches during that 7-day period. Just an extraordinary rainfall event. In terms of stats for Lake Conroe specifically, this is the third highest level that Lake Conroe's reached and the third highest release rate that we've had. There's just a chart that shows how the lake responded. We came back down from that 204.5 number pretty aggressively. The reason for that was we had more rain in the forecast. If you recall, we had another tremendous rainfall right after Memorial Day for that following week. We weren't sure if the target of that rainfall would end up right back in our watershed, or it ended up being a little south of us, but we still had another significant rain after Memorial Day. Now, the judge asked me to share a few pieces of information about how Lake Conroe actually buffers rainfall events. What I want to point out, the orange line was the flow at I-45 in the West Fork of the San Jacinto River, and you can see it peaked. The numbers on this chart, I can't make this PowerPoint slide work right. The flow there peaked at about 60,000 cubic feet per second. The release rate from Lake Conroe is the blue line, and that peaked at about 22,000 cubic feet per second. Now, the better way to look at that, and I don't know if you can read this map on your screens very well or not, but what I like to point out to people, we had over 500 phone calls during that week. Well, we're still getting phone calls, frankly, about this rainfall event. And so we try to return as many of those as we can. And one of the things I have to point out to people are the different watersheds that make up our entire area. The peak inflow that was calculated by our engineers coming into Lake Conroe was almost a little over 90,000 cubic feet per second. That's what they estimate of inflows coming into the lake at the high point. By letting the lake rise, well, I don't know if letting's probably not the right term. It's going to rise. But by the lake rising and capturing some of that flow, we were able to release a peak of 22,000 cubic feet per second. So the point to make from that is if the dam didn't exist, that peak flow of 90,000 CFS would go rolling right down the West Fork of the San Jacinto River and make matters worse. Now, at every rainfall event's a little different depending on where the rain hits. You can see in this event, if you look at the bottom end of the map, Cypress Creek really didn't get the brunt of this rainfall. They peaked at about 10,000 CFS. However, Spring Creek had some records, and at I-45 it was flowing. We got a peak here of 57,000 CFS. Obviously, as you know, Commissioner Nowak, this is a tremendous flow through Spring Creek. The West Fork at I-45 was seeing 60,000 CFS. Somewhere around 50,000 of that was coming down Lake Creek. I've never seen the Lake Creek Bridge the way it was. In fact, Fish Creek Thoroughfare was underwater.
Yeah.
Not the bridge, but the run up to the bridge was underwater. So that's the highest I've seen Lake Creek. And of course, on the East Fork, Caney Creek, Peach Creek, and East Fork San Jacinto River coming through New Caney was carrying 20, 30, 40, almost 50,000 CFS. So, you know, we get calls from all over the county when there's a rainfall event. I have folks from Tomball call and tell us we're flooding them in Tomball with the releases from Lake Conroe, and I keep this map handy. I put it on the website, and I'll send it to them by email. It doesn't make them feel any better, and when there's water in your house, there's nothing to make you feel better about that. But at least it's just good to keep people informed and try to help people understand where the water's coming from and where it's going. So that's a snapshot of flows during that pre-Memorial Day event. Now, the topic on your agenda today, I'll just touch on also briefly. The legislature for many, many years has made available through the Water Development Board flood protection grants. And these are available to communities and governmental entities throughout the state of Texas to do two different things. They have flood protection planning grants and then flood early warning system grants. Now, after the flash flooding in 2015, the legislature authorized an additional $1 million. So this year there's $2 million available in these grants through the Texas Water Development Board. What staff has put together is a proposal that would partner up the River Authority, City of Conroe, and Montgomery County to apply for some of this money through the Flood Protection Grant Program. What we would attempt to do is take advantage of the following activities. Now, you can see on the map, the yellow area is proposed to be phase one. The blue area is proposed at this time to be a phase two or three program. But the point of this is there are some regional benefits that can come through this program, but we can't do it all at once. I mean, I had some money already budgeted to do some activities related to expanding our alert system, which is our flood early warning system. We have a system of rainfall gauges and stream gauges throughout our basin and even outside of our watershed. We've used those for decades as part of our operations. We would like to expand that. There's not a flood control district in Montgomery County, so there's really not an entity here to be the keeper and maintainer and operator of these rainfall gauges and stream gauges. We partner with USGS, we partner with TxDOT, we run some of our own, we partner with the Trinity River Authority, so we've expanded our weather network the best we can, but we would like to upgrade our alert system and then be prepared to begin expanding it so that if we can get, we already had in our budget to install a taller communications tower. Part of this grant would be to upgrade our tower. So instead of it being a $200,000 investment, if I put in $100,000 and can get a grant for the other $100,000, we can get that new tower, and then we can use some of that additional money to do communications path studies. So I've got to determine, do I need repeaters in the county in order to pull in gauge information from your precincts? We might can put gauges in precinct 3 or 4, even though those are relatively far from Lake Conroe, if I can get a tall enough tower and I can get a study done to see if I can communicate all the way to those areas. Then we could begin in future phases to expand.
So you're talking about flood warning, not just so for your information, but to get out to the public?
Absolutely.
To make sure,
we publish all of our gauge data and readings through our website, and we make it available to the county EOC and other emergency response agencies in the county. So that would be the benefit of this. So phase one, we would propose to upgrade our alert system, install the taller tower, and do a path analysis to see where can we put new gauges in future phases. The other aspect of this study is flood protection planning. So the engineers here would update the topography, they would update rainfall runoff models, stream flow models. The point here is to improve our knowledge of when it rains so much in a certain location, how fast does that rainfall run off to reach a stream? Where are the bottlenecks? Are there areas in our topography that are bottlenecking the flow, keeping the rainfall from making it to the nearby stream? Then the next part of the study is the stream flow modeling. So it would update the stream flow models and determine, okay, once that rainfall hits the stream, how fast is it moving down the stream? Are there bottlenecks along the way? And also, how far is it going to rise? If we get a 3-inch rainfall in this area, the models can tell us, well, that's going to result in a 6-foot rise in this creek. Ultimately, that'll join the next creek. It'll be a 10-foot rise at that point, and it will give law enforcement and emergency response personnel better information to know, well, this is the areas we need to evacuate in certain type of rainfall events. That's the purpose of those types of studies. Now, the next piece of that, which isn't part of our needs, but the county and the city of Conroe would benefit from, is taking that floodplain information and identifying mitigation strategies. So they can actually take the data from this modeling, and the next step is, okay, well, if there's a bottleneck at this location, what could we do to clear this bottleneck? And if I clear the bottleneck here and get the water downstream faster, will there be a bottleneck below that? And so they can actually plan out mitigation strategies. In fact, Conroe has applied for and been granted one of these, at least one of these before, I believe it was last year, if I remember correctly, and did another creek. They would propose to do Alligator Creek in this study. They're already planning to do Alligator Creek. They offered to join in this project because you get additional points in the application for your grant if you have partners. So by partnering together, we hope to make their application more successful in the same way we'd make ours more successful. That's the goal. That's a snapshot of the proposal. Be happy to answer any questions.
How long do you think phase one will take the study?
Oh, how long? We're supposed to be complete by December of 2017.
And I guess this other one is phase two. That's Lake Creek and going over to San Jacinto. Is that correct?
Currently, that's the way we've scoped it. You also get extra points if you can show the Water Development Board that this is part of a phased, broader study. So for this application, we put in that we would propose phase two to cover this basin. But depending on the availability of funds, we can do it faster. We can make it bigger. We're just trying to bite off more than we can chew.
I think it's a great program. any advance notice, obviously, that we can get, especially downstream, could save lives, and I think it's a good program.
Jason,
it'll be very helpful.
We've got one gauge or monitor on Lake Creek now, right? That's at Fish Creek. Is that the only one we got on Lake Creek? I can't remember.
I believe, well, no, we have a Lake Creek gauge at 105, but it may be rainfall only.
Okay.
But that, I think that's the only two that I can recall.
Chase, how long will it take to move to phase two?
I don't know that we have to complete phase one before we can start phase two. Sam, I have Sam Hinojosa with me here to be my expert. Sam, do we have to complete phase one before we can apply for additional grants? Okay. So they can run concurrently. We can start this one up. We can apply next year.
I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I do too. We need to move forward with it, and especially the further downstream we get, the better it is, because that's where the majority of the flooding has tended to be.
Yes, sir. Is that flood notification in phase one or two?
The expansion of the tower and the path studies are in phase one.
Phase one.
And then, frankly, we don't have to wait for the grant program to add additional gauges. The benefit of the grant program, obviously, you can cut the cost of the gauge in half. But, you know, generally a rainfall stream gauge is 20,000 to 25,000, maybe 30,000 to install. If there's some key locations, we want to get those. As soon as we've got the capability to pull the data in, we can begin installing those. We can add them to our network for ongoing operations and maintenance. We don't mind maintaining them into the future and wrapping them into our network. We might just need some partners to install them.
Good. Let us know as soon as we can do it. Yeah.
Okay.
I know one of the big frustrations people felt was that, you know, the flooding, you know, just as you said earlier, when water comes in your home, there's just not much. I can't imagine anything being more devastating. The problem is that a lot of the roads that were flooded, people couldn't get back and forth, are only designed to accommodate a 10-year flood event. We have the kind of rains we had in May and then back in April. Those levels are exceeded fairly quickly. And so that ability to warn people to get out, you know, while they can would be hugely advantageous to a lot of people.
Chase, you addressed concerns from residents in Tomball calling to see if when you open the floodgates, does that have any effect on them downstream, which it doesn't. And the same thing would apply for areas of South County when you start looking at Timberlake, Timber Ridge, areas of the Woodlands, anywhere that was flooding. When that occurs, people believe that, oh my gosh, they've opened the gates, they flooded our homes. Could you just address that real quick, please?
Sure. Let me use the map to point that out. So what I tried to do is I had my staff add the directional arrows, because I used to just use a watershed map. But, you know, if you don't do water for a living, you don't, these things don't necessarily, they're not intuitive. So the flow from Lake Conroe goes straight down the West Fork, the direction of those blue arrows. Maybe I can make a mouse appear. Here we go. Straight down the West Fork to Lake Houston. Spring Creek and Cypress Creek don't join the river until almost 59. And so there is some backwater effect. I mean, obviously, if the West Fork of the San Jacinto River has risen 10 or 20 feet, that's going to have a little backwater effect moving up Spring Creek, Cypress Creek, Lake Creek, but it's not 15 miles all the way to the Woodlands. And so I've tried to explain that to people over time. And it's a tough sell when there's water in their house, but...
Well, that's why this early detection system would be important, as well as having gauges throughout the county where this can be monitored actively during a storm. So
yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
This Spring Creek at Tombaugh, I take that's on 249 at the bridge on at county line there, the 36,400.
I would have to look, Commissioner Riley, to confirm exactly where that gauge is. Sorry, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to point out, too, that at your peak for inflow into the lake and your peak for your discharge, you're at about 25%.
Right.
So as you
that's
said,
huge.
Had that lake not been there,
that's huge.
And
that's still a hard message to communicate to someone whose home has already got water in it. But the fact that the lake was there buffered a lot of that flooding.
Right.
No question.
And we certainly get it from both sides of the dam. I mean, I've got people upstream that are have flooding. I don't know if we had flooding in any houses in this event. At least I haven't taken a call. But there's property damage upstream around Lake Conroe, but there's extraordinary property damage downstream, and we're getting calls from both directions.
Well, and you might talk a little bit about what would happen if that dam, if it breaches the locks at the dam. Is it mandatory that you then open
well,
the gates?
Well, so the gates operate by releasing flow under the bottom of the gates. There are 5-tainer gates, and when the lake's sitting... like today, right at 201, right at normal pool, we have about 18 inches of freeboard. So between the water level and top of the gates, about a foot and a half. Well, as the lake level comes up, you have to keep the top of the gate above the water level. You can't let the water sheet flow over the top of the gate. They're just not designed for that kind of stress. And so as the lake's coming up, we don't have a choice. We couldn't hold any more water back if we wanted to. Gates have to rise. Well, there were points in the event where we only had 3 or 4 inches of freeboard. We're doing the best we can to balance how high does the lake rise versus how much is released downstream. Law enforcement and emergency management's calling us from downstream saying, hold it back, and people are calling from upstream saying, let it out, let it out. So it's a pretty narrow window of discretion, actually. You're looking at your 18 inches is disappearing, and you need to keep the gates up, and you're trying to do the best you can to balance things, and fortunately, it's a pretty narrow band of discretion to make those calls.
Thank you.
I appreciate all the effort.
Thank you, Jace.
Jace, the funding that you need at this point, would you need the full, is it $90,000? Or you want part of it this year and part of it next year? How would we need to fund that?
We are applying for, I didn't bring my sheet with all the numbers. Tell me, Sam, the total we're applying for again. It's
total we're applying for is $920,000.
So
that's the total cost, and half of that will come
from the partners need to bring $460,000 to the table. I believe we're bringing $230,000.
The county.
$90,000 from the county, and then the remainder from the city of Conroe, because they were already planning to do Alligator Creek. And we were already planning to put $200,000 into the communications tower, and so we're adding some additional funds to do the path study and the communications analysis.
Well, Phyllis, would we need to encumber the full 90 right now? Or?
I would imagine that the SJRE needs that to be matching funds for their grant. If we were on their end, we would need that as soon as possible, and it would need to be encumbered.
You need all 90 now.
And a check sent right away.
It's over. Well, for us, it spans two fiscal years, but we need to encumber by resolution. That's what we did at our board meetings. We went ahead and committed, because the board, when you apply, they're looking for a commitment from each partner that you're going to be on the hook for your share. But for us, it's split over two fiscal years.
So we use $90,000 out of contingency to cover the cost.
Got a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? I think this is a great plan, Jason. Appreciate the effort. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, we had one item that went through a while ago on consent that's going to need a funding source. Item 9N1.
It's the to incur the cost for we had a culvert installed and they didn't pay for it, so JD's office is going after it. Just use one of 614-7598. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 12A, Justice of the Peace Precinct 1, Judge.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning, Judge.
Please consider and approve the salary increase for a Justice Court juvenile case manager position. The auditor has made me aware of a typo. The total amount should be $8,889.19. This is to be funded out of the juvenile case manager fund.
Dodie, you reviewed
this is a lady I think that Judge hired maybe a year ago. And
yes, sir.
Pretty much at minimum.
Yes, sir.
And she really, really became an excellent juvenile case manager for Wayne. And
she has a master's degree and two bachelor's degrees, and just
very,
a huge
very qualified
asset,
lady,
doing very well.
I don't think we need to lose her over $8,000. I move.
Second.
And it's no effect on our budget. It's juvenile case manager fund.
This does all come from the juvenile case manager fund. That fund is projected to be exhausted by 2020. The last year it will be solvent is 2019, and so this would expedite it. We did speak this morning about potential legislative changes to increase revenues, as well as potential increases just from a different practice in the court.
There's a very good possibility that the Justice of the Peace and Constable Association is going to seek the legislature for an increase in the fees that we're collecting, because this program is so effective. We're keeping children out of the criminal justice system and keeping them in school. It's working really well.
With the budget process upcoming, is there any reason why we wouldn't just wait and do this then, like we typically do? And Dodie, was that your recommendation?
Yes, sir.
If that's Doty's recommendation to wait, I would say we wait until July to address it.
We got a motion, a second, I think.
Yeah, we have a motion, okay. A second, and see if that one passes first.
We're talking a month or two, let's just go and get it done, and the budget time's tough enough already.
Don't need to lose her.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner, appreciate that.
We have a motion, a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Motion carries, thank you.
Commissioner Nowak, I'd like to share with you a letter that we got from a gentleman that his family is in from the Woodlands. And he addressed it to our court, and he said, "Thank you for believing in us when few others did." And a year and a half ago, he was failing high school, and this is his graduation from the Woodlands High School. And the juvenile case manager that did this was responsible for that. And so
I think if we have Doty as the HR director and she recommends waiting, I think the appropriate thing to do would be to wait.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Judge. 435th.
Good morning, Judge Doyle, Commissioners.
Judge, how are you?
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Judge.
I brought the judge here in case there are questions that I can't answer, which are probably a few. So, with the 435th gaining more cases last year, as you're aware, when they took on a full felony caseload, there was a need to review staff. Prior to them taking on these felony cases, it was very sufficient to have one staff person and one court reporter, because of the schedule of the court and the number of cases that were in the court. Cases have grown with this new caseload allocation into the 435th by 44%, and we're asking that the court consider and approve creation of position 442-8520-1, Court Coordinator 1, with salary $49,852 and benefits of $21,134.92 for a total of $70,986.92. This is not an anticipated need. This is a need currently.
Move contingency.
Second. It's not going to throw us out of whack with everybody else, is it, Nate?
No, in fact, this will put us more in parity with the other courts that hear the same amount of cases as she does.
Congratulations, Judge.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you.
Is there any other funding source through the courts?
There is not, Judge. We did explore that because this court did operate differently for a number of years, but it's becoming more streamlined with the rest of the county, and there just was no other funding source for it.
Well, with the new judge coming on, we oftentimes give a lot of leeway for those new positions to get that court running how you need it to. So, Judge, I wish you the very best.
Appreciate it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then in item B, asking that associated ancillary to this, that you consider and approve use of Fund 241, the District County Court Technology Fund, by transferring $5,501 to, it should read 442-241-7390. This will be used to purchase computers and monitors for the judge and the new position, as well as the judge's iPad for signing warrants.
Move.
Do you want to move?
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Judge, thank you.
Thank you.
Constable Precinct 5.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
I'm here to consider and approve the donation of a K-9 Marcus from Universal K-9 for the use of the Magnolia Independent School District contract, funding for the K-9 stipend benefits and K-9 and other expenses to come from Magnolia ISD, effective June 6, 2016.
Move. Second.
Their comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Also, consider and approve access compensatory time for position 5551-5910-4. It's a livestock deputy in the amount of $8,970.90, which includes benefits. Please name a funding source.
Move.
Funding.
We're going to take this out of some unspent salaries at vacant positions that Constable 5 has.
Second.
Okay. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
District Attorney. Ligon.
We do have a change as far as the position is concerned from the auditor. Request A, consider and approve the opening of new position 43513-7915-1 a chief prosecutor for mental health court, effective July the 16th, 2016, at a salary of $108,838.86 plus benefits. This position will be funded from the pretrial diversion funds for the remainder of the 16 fiscal year. To remind the court, y'all approved the mental health court going live July the 15th. I had initially had this on for the budget, but because Texas is 49th in the United States in funding for mental health, most recently the state of Texas has allocated some few million dollars to mental health. And so what myself, Judge Hamilton, Judge Turner, Judge Mychalk, most of the felony courts, we've just agreed to embrace it. We've worked with Judge Doyle quite a bit on the jail overcrowding, and Captain Henderson and the sheriff have identified a significant or an impactful group of mental health folks that are within the jail. So we're going to try everything from the patrol side to diversion. We're looking at seeing people, if we can get them out of jail, if we can get them out of jail quicker. But when you're talking about people with an organic problem in the brain, the big three, schizophrenia, bipolarism, and major depressive disorders, you're talking about people that aren't doing this to themselves. As the DA, I really don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people who put themselves in jail or put themselves in prison. But for those people, our veterans and our mental health folks, I believe that we can do more and we should be doing more. And so because of that, I volunteered to pay for the salary for the remainder of the year out of our pretrial diversion funds, but also to show my commitment to it and try to get the same commitment from the court, I'm also agreeing to pay for the next calendar year as well out of those same pretrial diversion funds, because we want to set it up in a manner that diverts people. Mike, if you'd stand up. When I show you how big we're going with this, I don't mean physical size, or else I'd be in charge. But I've got a prosecutor who's been with the district attorney's office since 1999, but Mike is also a 21-year lawyer. His reputation is impeccable for honesty and integrity. I think that Mike will embrace it. We're looking forward to working with Gloria in the courts. And so when I tell you we're putting big resources behind it, I'm putting the weight and the credibility of the district attorney's office to try to do what we can within this community to address some of the mental health issues.
Good. I move.
Brett.
Second.
You said the next calendar year. Did you mean fiscal year?
I meant fiscal
okay.
year.
Okay.
So the balance of this year and
yes,
all
sir.
The next. Questions or comments? The commissioner, it's been very interesting. In looking for people that we could help get out of jail through the bonding process, we found there really weren't that many, but the mental side is where the big challenge is, and I appreciate that effort.
It was surprising. The jail population is 93% felon, pretrial and post-trial, 70%, 7% misdemeanors. And of that population, we were trying to really explore who was bondable, bailable, who perhaps we would give PR bonds to, trying to really get on top of it. And we found that the rough correlation of that 93%, about half of them, and I'm off a little bit, about half were post-trial, and so they were serving either jail time under a felony conviction of 1244A, or they were waiting for transport, or they're on a blue warrant or a white warrant. Another half of that 93 were there pre-disposition, but a large portion of those were there because they were no bonded, or they were 39%, I think, were the numbers of that half, if you recall. They were there under an order of arrest from a judge or a detainer because they were legal immigrants. And so I think that the jail ought to get a blue ribbon. Our misdemeanor population, I know what my reputation is in amongst the community, but the reality is the misdemeanors are the ones that are impulsive, and you get them back out and you get them back to work. Your felons are the ones you're oftentimes trying to separate from the community, and the jail's doing an excellent job. Thank you, Sheriff.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Secondly, I'd like the court to consider and approve a salary increase of $10,000 plus benefits per annum for the nighttime intake attorney, position 4351-79061, effective June 13th this year. This increase will be funded from the DA's drug forfeiture funds for the remainder of the 2016 fiscal year. I've looked at it as a shift differential. The gentleman that I have working there at night is also a peace officer as well as a prosecutor. And as anybody who deals with nighttime personnel knows, it's hard to hold on to talented folks. He has been offered a position in Wharton County, and it was time for us to address that before we lost really the only full-time employee I have working at night. And I'll take those out of forfeiture funds.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then lastly, this is part of the Texas two-step. As most of you know, Phil has been elected the judge of the ninth. He will be appointed fairly quickly, we believe. The governor's office has indicated possibility of a couple of dates. And because of that, it's going to change my office. I've brought the new first assistant, Mike Holley. Mike, if you would stand up. Mike Holley retired from the Army, was discharged from the Army honorably as a major. He was in the JAG Corps. He started off as a military police officer, went to law school while he was there, handled cases that went actually all across the world. Mike's last big high profile was Mike was the prosecutor in charge, and the prosecution went over several countries, prosecuted the soldiers who were torturing the Abu Ghraib prisoners. So if everybody remembers the Abu Ghraib prosecution, that was Mike Holley's prosecution. He left the military, went to work for the Lanier Law Firm. Mike has more management. Phil and I have laughed about it. Where Mike is starting is still a few years ahead of where Phil and I thought we'd ever be as managers. So we're going to I've promoted Mike, but there's a two-step process, and part of it is I have to rectify the hybrid position that he was in as a chief, and so I'm asking to make that a full chief position at consider and approve a salary increase of $9,928.62 plus benefits per year for chief prosecutor position 43-51-79-15-12 effective June 13th, 2016. And I'll fund that from my drug forfeiture funds for the remainder of this year as well.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Conroe North Houston Regional Airport, Mr. Smith.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, Judge. Commissioners.
How are you?
Item 16A. Consider and approve the proposed user fees to be charged by Montgomery County for aircraft customs clearing service and regulated trash handling and disposal service at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Federal Inspection Facility at the airport. I did distribute an informational memorandum that had the proposed fees in there, so we're asking for your approval this morning.
I move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
I don't know if any of you have been out to look, but what are we looking at, another month and a half, 6 weeks before we open up?
Commissioner, you have mid-July. They should be able to open up for service. We're actually turning over the IT-type room to them next Tuesday so they can start installing their equipment. So about another month, maybe 5 weeks.
It's quickly.
Good. Thanks, Scott.
Good job.
Thank you.
Library.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. The county is obviously growing, and we're growing with it. A 2,400 square foot addition expansion to the Meadow Branch Library should be open in the next couple of weeks. We're doing the final touches on it, and because of the way the construction needed to be designed, the mechanical room and the restrooms are in the middle of the end of the building, and we cannot supervise from the central desk where we did so before. So I'm asking that a position that was requested for this year's budget in anticipation of the opening of that expansion be approved at this time. A children's librarian. This is the only location without a degreed professional to plan, direct, and coordinate children's programming at that location. We have the funds in allocated unspent salary funds to be able to fund it for the last 7.5 pay periods, and we just ask that there be some addition with benefits. Most of those are already budgeted in. And so we would ask that you consider and, if appropriate, authorize opening a new librarian two children's librarian position, 6511-7250.3, at a salary of $49,000 plus benefits effective June 18, 2016, and to approve transferring sufficient funds within the library system's salary budget to cover the cost of the new position. This was estimated by the auditor staff at $14,143.62 plus benefits, and we have the listing there to cover it.
Yeah, with this new addition that we put on up there, it does create a need for another position. And you've got it funded. I move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Pass. All right. Office of Court Administration.
Again.
Hello again.
The long-term space planning for the Allworth Building, 207 West Phillips, Caddy Corner from here, has designated four courtrooms on the third floor. Currently, there are three, and drug court offices. What we're asking today is to discuss the moving of the 435th District Court from its current location in the old courthouse to where drug court currently is, moving drug court to the first floor of that building where there is some space where collections has already vacated and is in the process of vacating. And we've walked through all of these options with Paul Case, gone over what is currently available, who needs to move, when, and how they need to move. Paul, was there an estimate on how long or how much that was going to cost? How much? So about around $170,000. The effects of having four district courts up on that level are pretty substantial in terms of inmate transport. Instead of transporting to two different buildings, you'd only be transporting into one building. You could do a lot more with security with one building than with two, especially with the old courthouse being the way it is. And so we're coming today to ask that Commissioner's Court approve a $170,000 budget for building maintenance to make these changes that have been...
Was that change always planned to have that fourth court, Paul, in that building? Okay.
Okay. When do you expect...
From our perspective, this plan has so much sense.
Yeah, so having them in one spot.
Of course, this question about all four will handle felony cases. So you not only talk about prisoner safety, but prison transport, have the bailiffs of four courts
in one spot.
The one problem we have is communication. We're saying to between the bailiffs and the DA's office and anybody else in there, if, you know, the DA's office occupies all the second floor, half the first floor, and bring a drug and alcohol court downstairs on the first floor, you know, the only thing really left is collections and elections that really doesn't fit. But, you know, that's something we can address at a later date. But Jake McGinnis approached me about giving up some space. We're like, oh my gosh, this makes complete sense. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But I just want to throw it in and we're in support of it.
Yeah, Judge.
I just wanted to add something that happened behind the scenes, behind what Nate is saying. The moment that we became aware that the 435th wanted to move up there, Judge of the DWI Court, Kristen Arnold, here, the director, that had been there for years, there was not a moment's hesitation with her saying, whatever space you need, take it, I will move somewhere else. Everybody along the line, the first thing that happened, Brad and I were looking at spaces that he had that maybe could transform into something for DWI and drug court to move them up. Everyone along the domino effect was wholeheartedly helpful and sharing with whatever they had. So it all went on kind of quietly behind the scenes. You wouldn't hear that this morning necessarily, but that's what it happened.
It's true, though.
Paul, do you know when you'd get started?
It would probably be fall before we could get started.
Do you have an estimate for what the cost would be to move the drug court and DWI court down to the first floor? Is that included in this 175?
When are you talking about this? I mean, are we on 18A?
Capital is there?
Yes, we're on 18A, Commissioner.
Yeah.
Is that going to be where we early vote?
No.
Is that where that location is?
No. Huh? It will not affect early voting.
Okay, okay.
Move and use capital improvement fund?
Yep. Second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioner? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And thank y'all to the judges, to the DA, and to Paul Case, and to Kristen Arnold for drug court. They've been so accommodating and so welcoming, and I really appreciate it.
Good.
Thank you, Judge.
And Brett, we can address the elections and the collections during the budget hearing. Still remember, bring that up.
All right, mental health court services. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Mine's a lengthy one, so I apologize. Consider and approve the following position and salary changes. We want to close position 465011.4213.1, which is the admin assistant position, and open position 465011.3940.1, which is a clerk 4 position.
Ma'am, instead of reading that, you just want to tell us what you're doing?
Sure. That would make it a lot easier for me, too.
I thought we agreed several courts ago that this didn't need to be on the open agenda.
If they have the funds, I think.
Huh?
We have the funds.
Do you have the funds?
The funds are there. There's not any changes in the funds except for we're just moving money around, if that's okay with you.
You're good.
Okay.
Okay, good.
We have a motion. Second.
Yeah,
and a second. Yep. Any questions or comments, Commissioner?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yeah, and again, I think, Judge, when we're taking these types of actions, it should go on consent if possible. Yeah.
Well, are you refilling positions where someone left, or are you...
That position hasn't been filled.
So you're just filling it.
Yeah, when we looked at the job duties.
Standard operating, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, those, we'll work on getting those on.
Unless you want to read it all.
Yeah.
Thank you. No. I don't want to take any more of the court's time. The next thing that we would like to do is upgrade the position, the caseworker position, and transfer some of that money from the first admin assistant position
closing. We moved on all of it.
We did all
of it. Oh, you moved on all of it?
Yeah, we got all of it.
Oh, okay. That makes it a lot easier. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, County Auditor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you is a request to close certain capital project funds. Identified are 4 different funds where we have issued debt, and we've had that debt issued since as time period between 2004 and 2008. As I've shared with y'all in the past, the IRS guidance states that the majority of these funds should be spent within 3 years. If we had followed that, these would still be 5 years overdue. So our recommendation is that these be closed. We are required to close those funds to our debt service fund, and so it would increase the fund balance in our debt service fund, which would create a future lesser impact on the tax rate for the debt service.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. 21A, Animal Control.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
To consider and approve additions to the Montgomery County Rabies Control and Animal Restraint Ordinance, specifically requirements on owners of dogs deemed dangerous. Currently, we have some requirements for owners of dangerous dogs. We're looking to add to that the owner must, in the time frame, the 30 days from 30 calendar days, sterilize the animal or spay or neuter, if not currently, have a microchip implanted that is registered to the dog's owner. This became we have a dog deemed dangerous, and they have another one that looks just like it and kind of playing us there. Provide the Montgomery County Animal Control Department with a original copy of a dangerous dog insurance affidavit. It's basically a form we've been using for 3 years now. I would just make it official and put it in the requirements. It requires the owner's insurance agent or insurance provider to sign and notarize the form and return it to our office. Basically notifies them that as an insurance company, they're insuring a insurer that has a dog deemed dangerous by the county on the property.
I move.
All that works, PD, with statute?
Yes, our office reviewed it in compliance with the statute. I would say I think the backup does not include the affidavit, but when it's the form you've been using, and so when we upload it to the ordinance website, it will include the affidavit, and we would ask that be included as part of the motion.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Joe.
Good job.
Purchasing.
Thank you.
morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
22A, take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for an item necessary because of unforeseen damage to public property as authorized by local government code 262.024A3, and to approve all one motion. Would you like me to read them, or would you like to approve them as stated?
As stated.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item B, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiation phase with the highest evaluated respondent, MJR Services, for RFP construction, repair, rehabilitation, or alteration of residential buildings with Section 3 requirements for MCCD.
What are we really looking at here, darling?
This is a contract that we went out for to repair different residential properties for MCD, which would be Joanne's Department of Community Development, as they come up. And I know she has a set budget through the year that she uses.
It's all through
all grant funding?
CDBG.
All through her funding.
I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah, move. He made a move.
Second.
Motion to second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
C, take all appropriate action to approve, award, and take all in one motion RFP private contract defender for indigent juvenile defense to William L. Pertilio III, and contract to follow.
You can do them both together?
Yes, do them
yes.
Both.
Okay, sorry. Rayford Road at I-45 intersection, improvements to Triple B Services LLP in the amount of $392,125.60 for Precinct 3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
D, take all appropriate, or take approve change order number 15 to Williams Brothers Construction Company, Inc. for the construction of Highway 242 DC for the final reconciliation of project quantities for credit in the amount of $432,621.42 for engineering, Precinct 2 and 4, MCTP.
Move. That's finalizing the 242 project.
The credit.
Second.
Second.
I think that's great. You guys somehow say $432,000.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thanks, Darlene. County Attorney, real property.
Item 23A and B, seek the consideration action on petition for acceptance of first Aranda Lane and then Oliver Lane in Precinct 4 into County Road Maintenance Systems upon finding a public use by on each of these roads.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item 23B, ask the court to consider and take appropriate action on to approve the purchase and funding of the real property located at 402 West Phillips from Toledo Summerlin Hughes Investment Trust by Austin Hughes trustee. This pursuant to the purchase and sale agreement that the court previously approved on April 26th. We have a closing scheduled for tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now I need to recess our commissioner's court meeting and convene a public hearing in Precinct 4. Consider and approve and a partial replat of lots 32, 33, 34, and 35, Reserve A of Glen Eagle Section 3, to be known as Montgomery County Mud 15 Water Plant Number 2. Is anyone here to discuss that? None. Second. Sheriff?
Filing the application for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Grant Program FY 2016 local solicitation through the U.S. Department of Justice. Pursuant to public hearing notice published June 9, 2016, grant titled Automated External Defibrillation Acquisition Project in the amount of $42,477, no matching funds required.
Anyone here that would like to address that issue? I need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene Commissioner's Court to take action on these two items.
Move on A and B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Sheriff.
Okay, on 25A asks you to consider and approve the grant application for Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant 2016. Please authorize Brady Fitzgerald with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office.
We just did that, didn't we?
To submit the grant.
You have to have a public hearing on it, and then he's asking you to approve the application afterwards.
Which they did, and then we approved okay. both A and B, so okay. I should have covered that. I think we got you covered on that one, Sheriff.
Okay.
25B.
Asked you consider and approve returning $2,450,000 in salary and benefit funded removed from the sheriff's admin and jail budget by the county auditor on May 24, 2016.
You know, Commissioners,
what is this?
Back in budget, we let the sheriff keep all of his carryover funds in lieu of funding additional dollars to his budget, and then those salaries were swept recently, back in May, which puts us in a pretty tough spot with our contingency
balance.
Sheriff, that money is yours to be spent how you need to. We need to use those dollars right now to cover some costs that we will be reimbursed by FEMA on. So the money's there for you. We just need to borrow it for a little while. But if you need it for something, you come to this court, that those dollars are yours to use.
Well, I've got a list of things that we need it, but one thing, Judge, you know, when you say the court says, you know, don't sweep the budget till the end of the year and there's some left, well, then she can sweep it. And then later on you said, okay, every 90 days she's to contact us if there's a reason to sweep the budget, and we'll discuss it and find out if we need some of that money, which we do need some of that money. But when I called her and asked her about it, she said, yeah, I swept the budget. I said, well, you swept $2,450,000 out of my budget. At least you could have called me and told me. She didn't call and discuss anything. She didn't say anything. And she said, I don't have time to call everybody and tell them when I sweep money out of the budget. But I would think that if you're sweeping $2,450,000 out of somebody's budget, you could take the time to pick the phone up and call them. I've got some things, especially in this flood. You know, I lost 15 patrol cars.
Doesn't risk management cover that?
Some of it, Commissioner, but they don't cover it all.
How much do you need today?
I don't know how much I need today.
I can tell you that we need $2,500,000 just to pay for Crowder Gulf to come pick up the debris. I mean, we both have a need for this money, and you're always going to get something if you need it. We're just asking, can we use this money until you come back with a
okay.
list of what you need?
Then I'll be back, Commissioner's Court, with a list of things, because in this flood, not only did I lose those cars, I lost a shooting range out here. We can't use that range anymore. We've got to buy some land. We've got to build that. It's required by the state that our people qualify.
Absolutely.
And if we don't, then we're
and Sheriff,
that's a liability.
Sheriff, we'll help you get the money. And we'll be reimbursed on the dollars that we need for the debris cleanup right now through FEMA. So the money's coming back. So if you need the dollars.
But when will the money be coming
but
back?
But I'll never see that money, Judge.
Sure
because,
you will. Sure you will, Sheriff.
Because I'm retiring at the end of this year. And I don't believe that you're going to get money back from FEMA that quick.
Well, if you need those dollars and we need to dip into fund balance to cover it, well, then we'll certainly do that.
Well, I'm going to need it, and I'll be back with an amount, because that's not the only thing. And you know, I'm sitting over here at the sheriff's office right now with just on vacation time with what we owe people if they all walked out the door at the same time. That's $2,520,000 comp time liability that we have at the sheriff's office, $4,456,000. You know, I had two people just leave, and they walked out of here with several $1,000 because of vacation and comp time. There's several people when I retire that have said they're going to retire at that time. No telling what that amount's going to be when we walk out the door. But, you know, we had damage done to some buildings over there, equipment there at the academy, and also...
Sheriff, rest assured, this court made a commitment to get the money for you, and it's there for you to use. We just need to shuffle some dollars at this point in time.
Is there a way to take this money out of the capital improvement and being reimbursed by FEMA instead of doing what we
have fund balance?
Take it out of fund balance?
Well, we don't know what fund balance got in it. We don't know what contingency's got in it.
Fund balance has got the dollars for it. I just don't want to put us in a position where it hurts us with some of the...
$2 million out of our fund balance is not going to hurt
financial institutions.
It's ultimately a decision of the commissioner's court. So budgetary decisions are ultimately y'all's. You can take it from fund balance. We can identify how much is in fund balance, and certainly it's adequate for this. I understand wanting to use it for contingency to be able to fund emergencies as they come up to the extent that you're able with current year dollars and not have to go to fund balance.
I mean, to me, that's what a fund balance is for. I mean, contingency, obviously.
If I had the money in my budget, knowing what I've got to go through, I'd want the money to stay in my budget. I wouldn't want to have to come to court with contingency trying to get what I needed, waiting on being reimbursed. We need to figure out a way, if we're going to get reimbursed by FEMA, to do it some other way besides the sheriff.
Or maybe half of it. I mean, it looks to me like it'd be an easier way to do it. But would it affect our bond rating if we did that, Phyllis?
Because the money's still there.
Would that affect our bond rating if we did that?
Exactly.
When we sell bonds, one of the things they do is review actions of this court to see if we've drawn down our fund balance. So that is one thing that they...
Even though it's an emergency.
I believe that you can explain it. It is just something that they review. I mean, there are a lot of things that get reviewed that get explained.
And, I mean, if we can avoid having to dip into fund balance, that's going to be better. If we can find a way to get, Sheriff, what you immediately need to take care of that, which I think this court has always done. I think this court always takes care of the Sheriff's Department, and that's what the judge is trying to say now.
Yeah,
if you can bring us a list, we'll get
you what
you need.
I'm going to bring a list. And, you know, I've got some fuel pumps that we're going to put over here at this new facility that we got where we're putting District 1, because we've got some fuel tanks there at vehicle maintenance. It's been there since 1977. The last time they were out here and fixed a leak, they said, we will not come back out here to fix this thing again because it's not in a condition to fix. Paul Case has worked with me on a deal over there. We got a bid to put some pumps over here at this new facility for $1 million. Working with Paul Case and working with some different deals, we got that down to $500,000. We don't waste a nickel. We don't just say, hey, we got a bid for $1 million, let's take that. We try to work with our budget. It's the budget that was given to me. What if we hadn't had all these openings and all, what would you do then?
Well, I mean, the fortunate thing is that you do right now.
Yeah.
And we're trying to work together to solve some problems.
Well, and I'm $75,000 down in my overtime budget in the jail right now. You know, because of it, sometimes I have 8 people that we had to put on overtime to cover people in the hospital that we had to have somebody to watch. It's our overtime.
I think we need to put the money back in his budget and figure out another way to do what we're trying to do.
I agree.
I really do.
I think there's another way to do this.
There's got
to
be another way.
This doesn't seem right.
One pocket and putting in the other.
Well, it's his budget.
What's going to happen though is we're going to turn around and we're going to have to draw the money from somewhere soon.
When do you need the money, Commissioner?
We've already encumbered. We need $2.5 million.
We approved that last court.
It hasn't been encumbered. What y'all have approved
last
is some
hot
seat contracts.
We didn't agree last court to take it out of his
floods
budget.
That came one right after the other.
No, last court we did not approve to take it out of his budget.
We haven't.
That's correct. None of it was ever approved to take out of the sheriff's budget. What y'all did was asked us to do a sweep including the sheriff's budget.
It didn't say including the sheriff's
budget. No, it didn't.
It just said do a sweep of salaries.
Salary sweep.
Ultimately, these are funds of the commissioner's court, and we can put them wherever y'all choose to put them. It's y'all's budget. So if y'all want us to put it back in the sheriff's budget, we can do that. My understanding was...
My understanding was to do the sweep including the sheriff's budget. If that was the wrong understanding, we'll be glad to put it back.
It said it was funded with fund balance in the essence that a grant does not reimburse these costs.
So we need to take money from the fund balance if we put the money back in the sheriff's budget to cover that account.
Certainly, that was the action that you approved.
How much have we got encumbered right now? How much has Crowder Grove done?
$2.5 million are the two contracts that you have established.
But they haven't done $2.5 million. We haven't baked them.
We've received one invoice from emergency management for $400,000.
Okay.
We have not been able to receive the other invoice from emergency management.
What is the fund balance?
Fund balance? About 39 million.
but if you start that, and that can impact us.
So it's better, to, and any time we, I mean, you would always draw down your contingency balance.
Sure, that would put in there.
The fund balance we've been putting in for years and years, you have to have a fund balance to have financials in order.
I tell you what, I mean, obviously it's on the court agenda, and we don't need the money right now. We haven't paid them. They haven't sent us a bill for this money. Let's put $1 million back in the sheriff's budget. That'll leave us $1.5 million to deal with Crowder Guff until next court we can identify, we can do some work, see if taking out a fund balance is going to affect us negatively. I don't want to do that. But if it's not, that's the place to use it, I think. But
either way, Sheriff, with those dollars,
he's got some issues right now.
He did sweep a total of 3.8, so if you take it back to 2.5, you still got 1.8 million that came from.
We have 1.2 million in contingency right now. And if we give the sheriff 2.5 million, and we use 2.5 million, you're down $100,000. That doesn't include the expenses today that we've already authorized. So we're in a tough spot to be able to refund that. I think the best thing to do is if you can just come back with a list of what you need, and we work on it on the next quarter.
Today we can give $1 million.
What does that do to us? We put $1 million back in the sheriff's budget. With the contingency that we removed today, where does that leave us in terms of the contingency balance?
Your contingency balance would be $3 million.
With that $2.5 million outstanding, waiting to that you've already approved, waiting to hit it,
and
it would leave you
else?
About $400,000.
We did 175 today for Paul Case for the courts.
We did 90 for
170 is from your capital project
improvement fund.
Okay, but we did 90 for the SJRA contract
and 75 for Patty Judge McGinnis.
75
to get us through. 9:30.
And then you have a check coming in on your consent agenda that we put toward contingency. It's a little over $5,000. I mean, there are a few things that are going to impact contingency.
Which would put us around
today.
$200,000 in contingency.
If you gave the sheriff back $1 million, you would have $3 million in contingency, and you have a little over $2.5 million pending that was never encumbered.
And we don't know how much of that's going to be spent. Actually,
that's correct. That's correct. Those
I
are the not to exceed amounts.
Today.
Would that help you, Sheriff, if you got
so
$1 million today?
So he can take care
you...
of some issues.
Well, yeah, but I need more than $1 million because I'm going to bring you that list. But, I just don't think it's right. If I overspent my budget $2.5 million, what would y'all do?
Sheriff,
or
$1 million,
or $500,000.
I don't think it's a matter of right or wrong. It's just a matter of the fact.
It's
the
right or wrong,
sweep
Commissioner.
Occurred.
It's my money that was
it's
given to me.
It's the people's money that is paid by the
for
taxpayer
me to, be responsible
to
for.
Fund this entire county. And what we need today is
my
we need to be able
is to not
use
to,
that
to fund the entire
the tax
county
base
budget.
Is. It's all the same pot of money, Sheriff.
Well, Sheriff, the money's still there for you to use. The $2.5 million is there for you to use. We just need to borrow it for a little while is what it really boils down to. But those dollars are still there and available to
I
you.
I still think we ought to move today to put $1 million back in his budget. He's got some issues right now.
I second that.
And we can do that, I think, without any issues. Without having to touch the fund balance.
I believe you could do anything from contingency back to the sheriff's budget that you chose. I mean, that would be a matter of notice, right, BD? I mean, I feel like it's been properly noticed whether you do the 2.4 million or 1 million.
Yes, it's been noticed up to the 2.4.
So we have a motion to put 1 million back in the sheriff's department. Got a second. Any other questions or comments?
And the understanding that he's still got
2.5 to use. Yeah, that's not a question. That's never been a question.
Would y'all mind telling the auditor one more time, if she takes anything out of my budget, she needs to call me?
I think that's probably a good idea if you move
$2.5 million. I think you need to call anybody when you're messing with their budget. I think you need to let everybody know.
So, Commissioner, we have 60 departments. And I shared this discussion with the sheriff. We have 60 departments.
That's pretty significant.
I understand, and I did convey to the sheriff that in the future I would try to call him on anything significant that impacts his budget.
I think
with
if
this
you're
regard,
messing
but
with
I would
anybody's
have when y'all
budget,
discussed it in Commissioner
anybody's
report.
Budget, you need to notify.
What was the next highest? What was the next highest number?
I don't know. Commissioner, I could go look, but I don't know that.
150,000.
For example, if you take 10 out of ours, I'm not going to be upset. Take
Well, 10 out of a small department could wipe them out, though.
We'll generate an email to every department the next time we do a salary sweep. Because to try to administer that is much too time intensive.
But with sufficient notice, not one day send an email and the next day take the money.
Just let them know.
When you sweep salaries, for the most part, they can't touch those salary dollars. You can. We have a different agreement with you, Sheriff.
With
other people, they cannot.
That's what she told me. She said, well, you can't spend that money anyway. Well, I can if I come up here and get y'all's permission to spend that money.
And we gave you that permission when we set your budget during the budget hearings. We told you this is going to be your bucket of money. Spend it how you want. Right? Okay. So all I'm asking for is let us know how you want to spend that money, and you're going to get up to that $2.5 million back. You're getting what you want. Just maybe not when you want it.
No, sir. I'm not getting what I want because I won't get the $2.5 million back.
We've told you you'll get that money.
Right. I think what Sheriff's wanting to do is please maybe pay down some of his other obligations.
Either way, that list would have to come through this court before it would be approved. Bring the list here, and we'll make sure the money's there.
Exactly. And if we've got dueling liabilities, the court just has to make a decision. Which one are we going to pay off? Is it going to be paying down your liabilities for comp time, or is it going to be paying an invoice we have to get the debris picked up from the, you know, the streets?
So is the court okay that since we're already overdrawn in the jail budget as far as overtime is concerned, and it's going to continue that way? For the rest of the fiscal year, that, you know, I was just banking on it pulling from our extra salary funds. If we don't have enough salary funds to...
Is it more than a million?
Okay with it still being an overdraft?
Is it more than a million?
No, it's just right now. It's just 70. It's overdrawn.
Put a million back, just make a line item adjustment and continue on.
You got the money there.
So I could send Phyllis a budget amendment and she would return that much, knowing we need to cover our overdraft in jail.
Yeah, you got the million.
I think that probably would have to come through court for approval, but yes, we would approve that. So. All right, we have a motion and a second to put $1 million back in the sheriff's budget.
Into lines identified by Carol, she'll email me.
That would make it a lot smoother. We wouldn't have to take another action on
Sounds
it.
Sounds great.
So, perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 3.
Consider and approve transferring 19,848,636 and $3,953.40 in benefits to position 614-3201.4. It's for a person to do the mosquito testing in-house for West Nile. I move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
I'm going to remove 26A2.
Okay. Human Resources.
Please consider and approve the payroll change request form.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Now, we have our second citizens' comment segment of the agenda for items that were not listed on today's agenda for those that want to address Commissioner's Court. I have two people that are signed up to speak. Same rules will apply. We invite you to come and speak. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks, and public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meeting Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment today. So with that said, I have two people. Joshua Herndon is the first signed up to speak. Yes, sir. Mr. Herndon.
We recently purchased a home in Montgomery County, and after initial inspection, it became very apparent there were structural issues. So backtracking through Montgomery County, realized that there's not blueprinting, there's not residential structural or electrical inspection. And so I would like to really be notified how to approach a scenario like that and or have inspection in Montgomery County and or permitting. I know our shop is permitted and there are proper blueprints for that, electrical blueprints, but not for residential.
I talked with the BD. Is that something that y'all could address with Mr. Herndon?
Yes, we'll be happy to speak with Mr. Herndon. As we've said before, there are definitely limits on the regulations and ordinances that a county can pass as opposed to cities. But I'll be happy to talk to you about what the county may or may not be able to do in that regard.
You can get with B.D. Griffin after court. That would be great.
Thanks for everyone's time.
Thank you. Second person signed up to speak is Brenda Schultz.
Good morning. I'm here to address a rumor to Mr. Clark. It has been rumored that Mr. Clark has told numerous people in our neighborhood, Bennett Estates, I'm sure you all know about Bennett Estates, the horrendous roads that we have, the semis that speed, that Jake brake. I don't need an alarm in the morning because they Jake brake down my road at 6 o'clock every morning, so that wakes me up. It has been rumored that he has told numerous people that there is a road that's coming in off of 1314, to LMI Sand Pit. It will be a gravel road, but he is going to asphalt it with county money. I need to know if this is the truth, if you know of a road, when and where, and what you got.
I'll be glad to visit with you after court. I can tell you that's a rumor and it's totally untrue. By law, I can't do that. They're building the road with their own money. But if you'll see me after court, I'll be glad to visit with you and give you the facts.
Okay. The second thing that I have is that I have called your office numerous times, even called when Reinhardt was there, numerous times. Our streets have no markings on them. They're so old that the markings, you can't tell where the lane dividers are. I've asked for this. I live on a road that has a blind hill. You go up the hill, you can't see who's coming over the hill and the other way as well. I've asked for a sign that says blind hill, something to the effect of limited sight, something. I've talked to your sign department. I've talked to the sheriff's department. They even said that, yes, that would be a good idea. I was ran off the road about 2 months ago. I drive a very small, low-profile sports car, and I came this far from running into the ditch, which would have totaled out my car, and my grandson would have been in the seat that would have been in the car. I call the car my coffin. It's not much of a car. And it could have killed us because there was a car coming up. I'm in my lane, and I'm coming over, and you can't see until the two meet. I'd like to know how I can get that done. It's a safety situation. It's a bus situation for children on the buses. We need our streets marked, and we need a blind sign on that road.
Okay. We'd be glad to sit down with you. We'll discuss everything on the list. I truly will.
Okay. After court?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Schultz. That was the only two that I had signed up. Is there anyone else that would like to address court today? Yes, sir.
I apologize for being late, but I wanted to ask. My name is David Vanderheider from the Deerhaven subdivision off Deerhaven Circle. After these last few weeks with the horrendous rains, the roads have, which are dirt, which are already in bad shape, but after the rains, both sides of our road in front of our house on both sides have craters that have opened up. I wanted to find out what you decided to do about page 7 of 16, G1B, the Deerhaven Circle, that subdivision.
Which subdivision is that? I couldn't hear you.
I think it's called Deerhaven Village.
Mm-hmm.
It's
off of Rose
just
Road?
South of Rose Road.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in here.
Yeah, we're
going to
take that Deerhaven Circle in.
Yeah, and I'm on Deerhaven Run, and the road's literally.
Well, right now, all
dirt.
I can afford to do is take the circle in.
I'm sorry?
All I can afford to take in is the circle, and we'll make improvements on
that. Well, that would help, because so
yeah.
You are going to take in the circle.
Yeah.
When do we know? Do you have an expectation date?
No.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address court today?
No.
All right. Seeing none, commissioners, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor? Aye. We are adjourned.